This morning, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So raise your hand if you need a Bible. Grab a Bible. You want a Bible. You want to read it on the printed page. Bring your Bible with you. Mark it up. Get into the Word of God. We're in the book of Proverbs today. And the book of Proverbs is about what?
Wisdom.
It's about wisdom. Can I hear it again? It's about what?
Wisdom.
Thank you for that. It's about wisdom. Listen carefully. This is how wisdom works. Wisdom is when you play the song and it's beautiful. Wisdom is when you build the house and it stands. Wisdom is when you sail through the storm and you actually make it through. Okay, that's wisdom. And that's what we need more than anything in life. I'm calling this summer the summer of wisdom at River West Church. And here's what that means. That means that if you see it through, if you stick with us through the summer, that you're going to grow in wisdom, which means you're going to learn to sing the song or weave the design or paint the picture, and it's going to be beautiful. You're going to learn to build the house, and it's going to stand. You're going to learn to sail through the storm, and you're actually going to make it. Okay, you're going to grow in your Christian faith in profound ways. If you stick with us, it's the summer of wisdom. But here's the deal. You're not going to get it on one Sunday. You're not going to get wisdom on one week. It doesn't work that way, all right? You have to dig in. You have to stay with it. And this morning, we're going to learn exactly why that is. Now, when I talk about wisdom, I hope that that sounds as good to you as it sounds to me. Because in my life right now, there's nothing more that I need than wisdom. Like, I need wisdom right now in my life. I don't know about you. I don't know if you would say the same thing. I hope you would. What's interesting is I've said that same statement at just about every season of my life. Same thing. I came to Christ as a young man, a young single man. And I came to the Lord and I said, I need wisdom. I have no idea what I'm doing. I need wisdom. I started dating. I said, I need wisdom here. I need wisdom. I got married. I said, God, help me. I need wisdom. I had children. I said, Lord, have mercy. I've got to have wisdom. Started a job. In my notes, I had job written. I thought it said Job. It's like, it fit. I said, Lord, I need wisdom here. My kids grew up. They became teenagers. I said, Lord, help me, please. I need wisdom. The kids grew up and they left home. Empty nest. My wife, she came to me. The kids, they were all gone. She came to me one day. And she looked at me with kind of a strange look in her eye. And she said, I just want you to know, I'm never going to cook again. That's what she said to me. She said, I'm never cooking again. And then she said, and she kind of, oh, she looks like a tiny bit angry. And she said, you know what? You cook. You're cooking now. And I said, where do you want to go to dinner? And I said, God, I need wisdom. Please help me here, right? At every stage, at every turn in life, I find myself saying the same thing, realizing I need something from God. I need some wisdom in my life. So now, praise God, because we come to the book of Proverbs, a book which is dedicated entirely, 100% to the theme of wisdom. And it's beautiful. Let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and get our feet wet. Dive into this. It's very rich. The first seven verses are very thick, very rich. Please, when you read, read attentively. Pay attention to the text of God's word. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, there it is. It's rich stuff. Did you notice the historical marker at the beginning? Chapter 1, verse 1, it's a historical marker. It says the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And so we have the book of Proverbs situated in the larger story of God's redemptive plan. Reading verse 1 reminds me that Proverbs is part of a larger story. It didn't just, you know, drop from heaven without having any connection to anything. It's a part of the redemptive plan of God. So when I read, this is Solomon, the son of King David, I'm set on notice that there's a kingdom theme going on in the book of Proverbs, as there is in the whole Bible. I'm reminded that there is another son of David who is coming, prophesied in the Old Testament, and that's Jesus Christ. So this is pre-New Testament. And it's pointing to another son of David, this king who would come, the Messiah, Jesus. And I'm reminded of this amazing unfolding plan of salvation. Begins with God creating the world and the fall of mankind into sin and God saying, I will send a savior. I will establish my kingdom in this broken world. And man, we're right in the heart of things here when we come to Solomon, the son of King David. This is about the kingdom of God, and it's incredible. But you know what's so awesome, what's amazing? You have one historical marker and then 31 chapters of Proverbs. You have one historical marker and 31 chapters of just pure distilled wisdom for our lives. And do you know why? Because living a life of wisdom is a kingdom theme. It's part of the plan of God. It's part of the intention of God, is that God would raise up a people of wisdom in this world who can live in every area of life. Proverbs gets practical. Every area of life, at your work, in your speech, how you handle money, in marriage and family and parenting and friendship. It's extremely practical, and it's a kingdom theme because God says, as I'm unrolling my work, my kingdom, as I'm bringing my Savior Jesus into the world, I need a people of wisdom in this world. And God cares about every detail of our lives, and he wants us to be people of wisdom. This is what we need, and God knows. You know, it's interesting. Today, I was just picking up my Bible, and I was giving it the eyeball test, and I was saying, this is Proverbs, and it appears to be right in the middle of the Bible. You know what I mean? You could do it like this. You could measure with your hand. Put your hand on the side. Feels like it's in the middle. Doesn't it? And it's at the center. It's right there. It's amazing. And this grand story of redemption. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and at the end, Jesus returns, and there's a great throne of judgment, and right dead center in the middle is a book, 31 chapters with one historical marker and 31 chapters that God says, I want you to be a man or a woman of profound wisdom in this world. It's like God's saying, I know what you need. You need wisdom in your life. In fact, it's the single most important thing you could ever acquire in your life. And there's a proverb for that, as there is a proverb for just about everything. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 10 and 11. This is great. And the whole chapter is sort of like wisdom personified. It's like wisdom is speaking directly to us. And it says in verse 10, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot be compared with her. There's nothing in this world that you need more than wisdom. If I said, I have a promise for you, River West, I have a promise for you. You say, oh, awesome, give me a great promise. Promise me health. Promise me wealth. Promise me success. You know, promise me, and you can say, those are some good promises, but if I say, I'm not gonna promise you that, I will promise you wisdom. You might say, oh, that's cool. But do you know that's the best promise of all? Think about it. What if you're extremely wealthy, but you're a fool? It is possible. It is possible, isn't it? I mean, maybe we can think of some people that might fit that category. I don't know. You see, you got a lot of money, but that guy's a fool. Okay? You could have resources, health, credentials. You could be super smart and know a bunch of stuff and still be a fool. Don't you love it when you meet somebody and you walk away and you go, that person's wise, you know? They're wise. They might not be rich, but they're wise, you know? They might not be good looking, but they're wise, you know? I want to hang around them because they seem to know how life works. They seem to know how to do stuff that matters, that makes a difference. And I need to get around that person. Why? Because I need some wisdom. There's nothing in the world that I need more than wisdom. And God knows that. He knows that. And so he gives us in the book of Proverbs wisdom. And it is in proverbial form. What is a proverb? Think about it. A proverb is a short, witty saying that presents a life truth in memorable form. It's a short, witty saying that presents a life truth in memorable form. That is a proverb. And there are many proverbs in life. There are the classics. Look before you leap, of course. It only takes one bad apple to spoil the whole barrel. Is that how it goes? The whole barrel? Something like that. But we kind of get it. There are the modern proverbs. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Isn't it weird how the mind works? You go, I get that. Because it's in a proverb. I get it, and I remember that thing. So now we come to the greatest book of proverbial wisdom of all time. But there's actually more going on in the book of Proverbs than just proverbs, than just short, witty, proverbial sayings. There's actually more going on. So since today's the introduction, I need to give you a little overview. This is really simple. Chapters 1 through 9 is a section. It's a section. I want you to read. In the next few weeks, I just want you to read chapters 1 through 9. Just read it over and over again. Read it. You'll get wisdom. It's a section. And in that section, all of the major themes of the book of Proverbs are presented to us. There are themes, and they all interconnect. They're interconnected themes of wisdom. We will see so many different words that are used. It's like a vocabulary of life wisdom. Instruction and prudence and righteousness and justice. They're all actually in the first seven verses. We saw a lot of those words. All these words. And it's God gives us themes, the major themes of wisdom, because he's trying to show us all the multiple dimensions of wisdom and how wisdom works. That's what he does. And you get chapters 1 through 9. You're going to get all those themes. And then chapters 10 through 31, what you get is selected proverbs. So then at chapter 10, all of a sudden you just start getting shorter, pithy sayings, memorable sayings. Many of them just one verse, one line. But here's the thing. Unless you get chapters 1 through 9 and the main themes, those proverbs will not make as much sense as they should. They will be out of context. You must read every proverb in the light of the major themes of the first nine chapters. That's when things actually come together. There's more going on here than just proverbs. In fact, you can see it right in this paragraph. Look at verse 6. It says, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So what do you see in verse 6? You see three things. You see proverbs and sayings and riddles. So that's what you get. So there's more than just proverbs. There's proverbs and sayings. And some translations will translate sayings by the dark sayings or the mysterious sayings. Enigmatic sayings. I like that word. I don't know why. Just sort of nice to say. It's an enigma. What? What is that? It's a dark saying. You know, it's like you have to figure it out. Oh, it's a riddle. Riddle me this. It's a riddle. It's like somebody hands you a Rubik's Cube and says, work with that a little. You gotta figure it out. So what we find in the book of Proverbs is sometimes not just the straightforward, it's just so easy, you know, stitch in time saves nine. Oh, I get that. But you get some things where you go, what is that? What is he saying here? And it's intentional. It forces you to engage your mind and your heart and to pray. And God begins to open your mind and your heart, and he begins to teach us the way of wisdom, which is why I started my sermon the way that I did. I started with one of Pastor Guy's proverbial sayings. I said, this is how wisdom works. Wisdom is when you play the song, or you weave the pattern, or you paint the picture, and it's really beautiful. Some people are thinking, what is he talking about? It's a riddle. It's a dark saying. Wisdom is when you build the house and it stands. Wisdom is when you sail through the storm and you make it. I opened our series with some proverbial sayings, because I want to get us thinking about the nature of wisdom and how it works. And so this morning, we will focus on two words, two themes for the book of Proverbs. They come from chapter 1, verse 2. We're just going to look at two major themes. And these two themes are so important that they will guide every single thing that we read in the book of Proverbs. Like all of it is going to interconnect with these two themes. So let's pay close attention and see what God is saying to us. Take a look at chapter 1 and verse 2. It's the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. But we're not going to talk about insight. We're saving that for week 3. Today, two words, wisdom and instruction. Now, wisdom is the master theme of the entire book. It leads the way. It's the first word right out the gate. And we'll run into it over and over again. And we know it's Proverbs is about wisdom. This is the headline for the whole thing. All right, so we got to get this. We got to start here. Here is a definition of the Hebrew word chokmah, which is the word translated wisdom here. Wisdom is the life skill of building something beautiful, lasting, and meaningful. That's what wisdom is. And now you know why I started the sermon the way that I did, perhaps. Wisdom is a life skill of building something that's beautiful, that's lasting and meaningful in a world that is falling apart right in front of us. I mean, our world is falling apart. There's no amount of spin that we can put on the thing without going, man, we have problems here. I know my world, I know people around me, I know there's so many struggles. The world is falling apart. Wisdom is a life skill of building, in that world, building something beautiful, lasting, and meaningful. Here's why I say that. The Hebrew word chokmah literally means the skill to build. That's what it means. It means the skill to build. And what we find in our Bible, if you go back and you look at that word as it appears, the earliest place in the Bible, and then you trace it through, is it is most often used in the context of building something. The very first time that we find this word is in the book of Exodus, and it is in reference to the building of the tabernacle. So let me read a verse to you. It's Exodus 36, 1. And it's kind of an obscure verse, but it's going to help us to understand what chokmah or wisdom is. And it goes like this, Exodus 36, 1, Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord had put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Well, there it is. That's not a go-to verse when you're having a hard day. Most people don't go right to Exodus 31:6 and go, okay, that's awesome, I feel better. That's not what that verse is for, but it teaches us something extremely important about wisdom. Because these two guys, Bezalel and Oholiab, and all the craftsmen in whom the Lord had put skill and intelligence to know how to do work of construction, the word skill, that's the word chokmah. That's the word wisdom. So now we begin to see that when wisdom is used biblically, it has to do with the skill to actually build something beautiful. These guys built the tabernacle. They were weaving the curtains and they were making the objects, the gold-covered objects of the tabernacle, and they had great skill that God had given them, and the skill is the biblical word for wisdom. Our God is a builder. It tells us in the book of Proverbs that by wisdom, God laid the foundations of the heavens. By wisdom, he's skilled. He builds. He creates something that is beautiful, that lasts. That's the nature of our God. And we're made in his image. And God calls us to be builders too. And he wants us to learn the wisdom and to gain the wisdom and the skill to do that. That's what it tells us in the word. How about this one? Go back to Proverbs. And in Proverbs 24, Proverbs 24 and in verse 3, and this is where we get to those more like just one or two liners, but it says in Proverbs 24, 3, by wisdom a house is built. That's the word chokmah. By wisdom, by skill, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. There's a life skill of building something beautiful and lasting and meaningful. And that's what we're after. That's what we need in our lives. Now, there's another famous verse. I won't read it, but I'll just tell you what it's about. In Psalm 107, it talks about those who go out to the sea and ships, and they're in a storm. And they're battling through the storm, and there's a verse that says, and they were at their wits' end. That's what our ESV says. They were at their wits' end battling the storm. And that phrase is chokmah, It's the same. It's the skill. They had come to the end of their own skill, their own ability. It's like they're thinking, we're not going to make it here. We're doing everything we can. We need more skill to make it through the storm. Beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. In every case, it's not just a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of skill. And so we learn in the Bible that wisdom is more than just information. It's more than just knowing things. It's not just an idea or a truth you can study in a book. I could tell you, at the end of the summer, it's the summer of wisdom, at the end of the summer, having an exam. Take good notes and come in. And if you're really smart and studious, you can pass the exam because you'll just check out, you'll have all the right answers. And all you high achievers are like, yeah, bring it, I could do that. You know, and you'd be all excited about taking the test. But wisdom isn't about passing an exam, a written exam. Wisdom is about actually doing something effectively and skillfully. So in my life, my hobby is I play the guitar. I've played the guitar for years and years and years. And I love to play the guitar, but then I get bored with what I'm doing, so I want to learn something new. So right now, my new thing is Celtic guitar, Celtic music in dadgad tuning, and I'm sort of geeked out about it. And so, you know, I went out and I got my Ben Susan book with the dadgad tab, and I'm learning about this. And I can explain to you Celtic music in dadgad and why it's modal and how that works and the different things, and I could do all that. And I could, you know, probably explain to you information about it. And the question is, can I actually play a Celtic song? And the answer is no. No, who cares? Who cares that you can tell me about all that? Oh, impressive, you know all that. Can you play anything? No. I'm learning. I'm getting a skill, all right? And it takes time. Will you please be patient with me? It takes time to learn a skill. Who cares if you know all the information? What can you play? What can you build? When the storm comes, when the circumstances of life are slamming you on the rocks of life, can you make it through? Can you navigate your way through? See, that's when wisdom is actually at work, and it's super important. And so what we're after is more than just information. Have you ever noticed that we're drowning in the sea of information in our world today? It's like information overload times a million these days. You can Google, you know, people these days, they pull out their phone and they go, I can Google that. You know, it's like you get so much information and you're like, well, what do you do with that information? I don't know, but I have it. It's right here on my phone, you know? And there's a study on everything. There's a study. I just read a study on coffee. And it said that if I drink 8 or more cups of coffee a day, I will live 5.7 years longer. I'm not kidding. It's a true study. Did my heart good to read it. 8 plus, I live 5.7 years longer. I'm excited about that. It's awesome. Never mind the fact that I can't sleep at night. I'm raging at my wife. I'm out of control. It's like, who cares about that? I'm living 5.7 years longer. There's no wisdom whatsoever, but I have a study, you know. Of course, we also know that next month another study will come out contradicting that study and saying you're going to die tomorrow. Isn't that the way it goes? It was Benjamin Franklin who said, all of the opinions of all of the experts in all of the world are like so many children in the schoolyard yelling out to one another, 'tis so, 'tis not, 'tis so, 'tis not. We are looking not for information. This isn't crowdsourced intelligence in the cloud, folks. This isn't self-correcting information because everybody weighs in on the internet. We're looking for the wisdom of God. Here's the promise of God. He has created the universe. And the premise of the book of Proverbs is that the creator who made all things, he knows how life works. And that's the premise of Proverbs. By wisdom, he laid the foundations of the world. He knows how life works. We're not after human wisdom. We're after God's wisdom. I want to know what God has to say about how to live my life. I want to listen to that. Here's wisdom. Wisdom is when I begin to gain the life skill of living my life under the lordship of Jesus Christ in a way that actually changes my life. And here's the good news in all of this. The good news is that God's loving promise is to give us exactly what we need. God intends to give you what you need most. That's his gospel promise. You can look at it. You can see it right there in Proverbs 1. It says in verse 2, to know. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight. To receive instruction. To give prudence. You see, there's an offer being made. God says, I'll give you what you need. I'm going to lay it out before you. You're not on your own on this thing. You have to figure it out yourself. God says, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to actually give it to you and work it into your life. Do you know that nobody wants you to succeed more than God? I mean in life, not just getting rich. I mean in life. God, that's God's intention for your life. It takes me right to Jesus. What did Jesus say? Most beautiful words of Jesus. He said, I have come that they might have life. And life more abundantly. John 10:10, I've come that they might have life. And you know, when he says that they might have life, it's not just that you might get bezapped with joy, like your whole life is falling apart, but you get bezapped by joy. Abundant life, it's awesome. And I'm joyful, but my whole life is a disaster. That's not what Jesus means by abundant life. Don't you think when Jesus says, I've come they might have life and life more abundantly, that he's also saying, I want you to have the life skill, the spiritual skill, the spiritual wisdom of living under my lordship so that you actually are a man or a woman of wisdom, that you begin to bring beauty into your life and into the world, and you begin to build something in your own heart, in your own life and experience, in those closest to you around you, that something beautiful is being built. That's our goal. And this is the summer of wisdom, and God's going to give us a great gift. Now, Jesus, the one who made that great promise, is the ultimate embodiment of all wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of God, the Bible says. Jesus is the hero of the story always. Jesus is that son of King David who was to come. Jesus, that's the way the Bible opens in the New Testament. Jesus, son of Abraham, son of David, right? He's the one. And what's fascinating about Jesus is when the prophecies describe Jesus, they describe him in terms of wisdom. Did you know that? He's described with wisdom. I'm going to show you that. It's in Isaiah 11. Isaiah, when was Isaiah written? It was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. But it's prophesying, it's prophetically pointing to Jesus, the son of David, the king, who is to come, the Messiah. Here's what it says in Isaiah 11. Verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The stump of Jesse is the line of David. And so from the line of David will come forth this shoot, this branch. And it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth and shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. When you read that passage, and we just read Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7, do you see the parallel? Do you see the words that are in both of those places? It's like a catalog of all the dimensions of wisdom. It's in Proverbs 1. And it's a catalog of all the descriptions of wisdom are in Isaiah 11, prophesying of Jesus, because Jesus is the embodiment of every bit of the wisdom of God. Jesus is the one with the life skill. Jesus is the one who knows how to build. Jesus is the one who knows how to make something beautiful. Jesus is the one who knows how to sail through the storm and actually make it through. It's Jesus. It's amazing. So think about the grace of God. Think about the gospel of Christ. You come to God through Christ, Jesus. You ask for him to forgive your sins and to give you the gift of new life. And Jesus comes to you and walks with you. It's amazing. Jesus promises, he says, I will give you my Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor in John 14. He's the Counselor. You need wisdom? Jesus says, I'll walk with you. I'll send the Counselor. Oh my gosh, he's promised to give us everything that we need in this. It's so beautiful. You know, Jesus, in his ministry, he said, someone greater than Solomon is here. He was talking about himself. There is someone greater than Solomon standing right here, Jesus. Here's a passage that I love when I think about my need and his grace. It's in Matthew chapter 11. And it's in verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that a great gospel passage? Jesus says, come to me. You labor, you're heavy laden. Life is falling apart all around you. Life is hard. You're sailing through the storm. You just, things aren't working. Jesus says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. You know, the yoke was used to tie the animals together as they would work in the fields. You yoke them together. And Jesus says, that's going to be my picture here. It's a riddle. It's a little saying of Jesus. You got to think about it. What's he saying? He says, you yoke up with me. I'll pull the weight. You walk. Take notes. Learn from me. I'm going to walk with you through the hardships of life. I'm going to walk with you through every stage of your life. Are you linked up with me, Jesus says? That's the gospel message. I say, Lord, I need wisdom. Please give me wisdom. Give me the answer. And God says, okay, but first you got to hook up with Jesus. You got to link up with my son, Jesus. You got to walk shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. You need to submit to Jesus. You need to listen to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He's your Savior. Are you walking with Jesus? Because to walk with Jesus is to walk in the way of wisdom. It's Jesus. Many of us are looking for answers to questions that we have, and we'll get to those later. But right, the first thing is this. The first step is this. It's like, really? Am I really walking with Jesus? Trusting him? Believing him? You know, it's not too late. I'll tell you one thing about wisdom. It's never too late. It's never too late to build. Some people say, it's too late for me, Pastor. I've messed up my life. I made a mess of things. My life is in shambles. My marriage is destroyed. My kids hate me. My job has failed. I mean, you know, as a pastor, we hear it all. You know, we see people's lives in ruins. And I love the gospel because I'm able to say, but I have good news for you. It's never too late. It's never too late. And I know that's true. You know why? Because of King David. King David. Talk about a guy who messed things up. He committed adultery. He ruined everything. And then he came to God in a prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. And I want you to see very carefully what David said in Psalm 51. Look at it if you have a Bible. Psalm 51. Here's what he said in verse 6. Now, if you know the psalm, he's confessing his sin. He's talking about how he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and it's this horrible thing. He's ruined everything, basically. And then he says in verse 6 of Psalm 51, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. There's that word wisdom, chokmah, life skill. Lord, you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. You know, and it's a present tense. It's like you are teaching. You will teach, like, actively. You haven't given up. Even though I've messed everything up, God, you're still with me, and you're still willing to walk with me, and you're still willing to teach me wisdom. You're going to pick up the pieces and use this and build a life skill into my life. It's not too late. It's never too late to come to the Lord, to ask for forgiveness, and to start to build. And so you go through this amazing, beautiful psalm, and towards the end in verse 18, after he's poured out his heart to God and trusted God for his wisdom, in verse 18, he says, do good to Zion in your good pleasure and build up the walls of Jerusalem. And David thought it was over. David thought, I'll never build again. My life is in tatters. I've ruined everything. It's too late. But after he confessed and after he realized God is going to yet still teach me the way of wisdom by his grace and mercy, he says, well, maybe I can still build. Maybe we can do something beautiful here together. And that's the beauty of David. Some women took the course on David at the river class and they came away and they said, I don't really like David anymore. I thought he was a good guy. Turns out he's kind of a jerk. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. The Lord rescues jerks. He saves sinners. He picks up lives that are in shambles. And then he says, I'll give you wisdom. That's the promise, summer of wisdom. But we didn't do the word instruction, so we've only got a minute. Let's go to instruction. Back in Proverbs. Proverbs, wisdom and instruction. Second theme. The word instruction is the Hebrew word musar, and it actually means correction. So that in some translations, it says correction. It sounds kind of intense right out of the gate, so I think some translations sort of mellow it out. They call it just instruction. But it's instruction that carries a big sort of shadow of correction on the thing. Sometimes it's translated discipline, but it doesn't mean self-discipline, like I'll be self-disciplined. It means somebody's disciplining you. It's like a parent disciplining a child. That's what the word is. It's used many times like that in the book of Proverbs. It's to be corrected or disciplined or challenged, called out. That's the second theme in Proverbs after this gracious beginning. It's amazing. So this same verse is the one that's used in Proverbs 3:11, where it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, nor be weary of his reproof. The word discipline is musar, same word as instruction in chapter 1, verse 2. Discipline, correction. He says, God, you're going to get corrected. That's the way wisdom works. It works by correction, course correction, life correction. Now, my son, Trevor, I'm very proud of him. He's doing great in life, his marriage. He has a great job at Nike. He has responsibility. He has opportunity. It's awesome to see. It makes a dad proud. But let's just turn the clock back, shall we, a few years? Because when he was a student at Lake Ridge, he wasn't doing that well. And I was one of those parents who didn't want to go to the mailbox because in those days they were still sending out the mailed notice about the kid. And I'd go, oh, Lake Ridge, I'm not going to open that. Because, you know, I'd open it and it would say, inevitably it would say, this is an enjoyable student. You know, it would always start with that. This is an enjoyable student. And then the next line would be, needs to work harder in class. You know, not keeping up on his work. Not doing, you know, and I'd be like, ah, oh, and I'd go in and I'd just bang my head against the wall. God, I need wisdom. Help me. You know? Trevor went off to college. And in college, because his GPA wasn't very good, he had to start in a study skills class. I talked to my son last night. I said, can I tell your story? He goes, yeah, it was academic probation. he's in there, you know, and literally he goes, Dad, I'm in with the kids who can't write a sentence, you know. And he had a bad attitude. He's like, I don't deserve to be in this class. And you know what happened? Here's what happened. His teacher came to him. I love this. The teacher of that class came to him and said, Trevor, you have a bad attitude, and I want you to know you're in this class because you earned it. You earned the right to be in this class. So change your attitude. And then after that, she said, you never should have been in this class because you have more potential, and I can see your amazing skills that you have. And then she said, I'll tell you what you are. You're a slacker. You're a slacker, and you're going to waste your life. And it was like, you know, great, great word. You know what that is? That's correction. That's discipline. That's challenge. That's instruction, proverb style. And it really had an effect on his life. Had an effect. The first word of Proverbs is wisdom. It's a beautiful word. The second word is really correction. Instruction that is corrective. And it's a challenging word. Both of those words are words of love. They're words of love. Because God knows that in our own hearts, in our own nature, you know what we are? We're slackers. We're slackers. We'll sit here, we'll listen to a sermon, go, that was an amazing sermon, I love that, so beautiful and everything, and we'll go out and just be slackers, you know? So the book of Proverbs, one of the main themes in Proverbs is God is gonna keep challenging us, keep correcting us, keep saying, I love you too much to let you just walk away and live in complete immaturity the rest of your life. God doesn't wanna do that. You're called as a man or a woman in Christ to maturity. You're called to wisdom. You're called to build. You're called to learn the spiritual life skills of living under the lordship of Christ so that your world is transformed, and not only your life, but you can actually help others as well. That's what we're called to. That's maturity in Christ, and the Lord loves us too much to leave us in our slackness. And so there's correction, loving correction. That too will be one of the themes. Have you ever been corrected by God? And I have. I've been corrected by the Lord. He has many ways and many tools in his correction drawer. All right? We're paying attention. It's the way it is. So finally, at the end of all of that, we have a choice to make. What are we going to do? One of the things we'll see in Proverbs is it always kind of comes down to a choice. How are we going to respond to these things? Let's go finally to Matthew 7. And look at the wise words of our Lord and Savior. Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said many proverbial things. He spoke in wise sayings. He spoke sometimes in riddles. Why? Because he's a wise sage. And he knows that he wants to put an idea in our head and make us think about it carefully. Here's the wise words of Jesus in Matthew 7 in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Those are the words of Jesus, your loving Savior. He loves us too much to not tell us the truth. What we do makes a difference. How will we respond to the Word of God? He comes with the gracious gift of wisdom, of his word, of his spirit, of forgiveness, of the lordship of Christ, of picking up the pieces of our shattered lives. He comes with all of that, but he says, now, how will you respond? Will you listen to my words and pray about them and internalize them and build your life or not? That's the choice. And so in Proverbs, we'll see, it always kind of comes down to what are we going to do now? My friend Dean Bussey, who goes to the church and has been coming to the church forever, he came to me before first service and he said, Pastor, he goes, you know, you got to give me an action plan. He goes, I don't like all this abstract stuff about, you know, all these ideas. He goes, I need an action plan to walk out of here with. And I thought, well, I don't know about that, because Proverbs, especially 1-9, isn't exactly the same as an action plan. It's not like a blueprint. It's more like God gives us themes and truths, and he says, pray about this, and the Holy Spirit will give you an action plan. He will guide you. But for Dean's sake, I did give an action plan. And here's the action plan. The action plan is read Proverbs 1-9. Now, you should be reading these chapters over and over again. You need to read these chapters and digest these dark, mysterious, riddle-like sayings and these parables and proverbs, and let the Holy Spirit work them into your heart and mind. So I want you to read and pray for wisdom. You'll see in chapter 2, pray for wisdom. Ask, and it will be given to you. Pray for wisdom. But the third action plan for this week, you need to examine your life and say, Lord, is there a place in my life where I'm resisting you? I'm resisting. I'm being a slacker, you know? I'm not seeking to grow in the Lord. Is there a dimension of my life? And I'm just complaining because my life has fallen apart, but the truth is, I probably made it fall apart, and I'm blaming it on God. Is there an area where you need to say, this is my growth area in the Lord? Pray about that this week. That's the action plan.